Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Gentlemen, welcome to episode 38 of Clinton Baptiste Paranormal Podcast. I hope you're keeping well. Christmas is, well, it's fast approaching, isn't it, Linda?
It really is.
Oh, did you hear that, Waz? It's only Linda bloody bollock. Oh, lovely. Linda, how are you set for Christmas? Have you put the Brussels sprouts on yet? It must be a good few weeks.
I've not done a thing yet, and I don't know whether I'll bother.
What, really? Oh, goodness me.
What is that baby doing?
Not very much by the sound of things.
To be honest, I'm lucky that my parents still do Christmas and they want us to go, right? So as much as it's a little bit of a journey to go and see them,
right?
Once we get there, you can revert to being about 14, oh, open a fridge that's full of food that you've not bought, all that stuff.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Yes. I love that. I might be hosting this year. I don't know whether I'm going to have Karen over.
Yeah.
I'll see how it goes. It's sort of very much up in the air at the moment. Be nice to be invited somewhere,
have
Karen.
Have you ordered your food yet?
No, I have not.
My mum and dad put their order in ages ago.
Oh, bloody hell. Yeah, yeah, well, yeah. What, turkey twizzlers, isn't it, your lot?
No, the way they put that food on the table, it's like, you know that scene in Christmas Carol where he walks in and that one that's not Father Christmas but looks like a ginger one is there and he's got like all the foods and the suckling pigs and all that shite going
on. Oh, God.
It's really? Like that.
Oh, I don't want to overdo it because you know what?
Really? Cheat
that's what normally happens if I overindulge.
Oh, I like to celebrate the baby cheeses.
The baby cheeses, that's right. Give peas a chance. Now, please tell me, what have you been doing?
Can I ask you something?
Yes,
right? There is a famous
can.
Podcast called Am I the Arsehole?
Yeah.
AITA.
Right. You're always mentioning everyone else's bloody podcast.
Just saying.
Go on.
People have got varied interests.
Yeah.
Right. Going on to a petrol station forecourt, there are certain things you do and do not do, right?
Right.
If the two pumps in front of you, one after the other, say it's 3 and 4, right?
Yeah.
Say 3 and 4, both of the vehicle drivers are in the station paying.
Well, get onto the spooky
wait, in a minute.
Go on. Yeah.
And you are behind 4.
Yes.
3 is not back yet.
Okay.
Do you wait?
Fading now, Linda. Go on.
So that you can
pull
to the front one.
Yes.
Or do you just go and fill up and f*** the person behind
you?
Oh,
I see what you mean. Do you have the good manners to move forward? I always move forward.
I wait. I don't mind waiting another 3 minutes if it just means that we can both move smoothly on.
Yes.
And I can start filling my car and finish at a reasonable time.
Yeah, I agree.
And the person behind me just to move on. And not have to think, oh, great, now I've got to go around you or wait looking at that empty pump. Well, I cannot stand other people sometimes, and that's an occasion.
I know. Well, what about when people... Well, this is an obvious one, but when people, they park up and they go and do a load of shopping in the bloody... I mean, go and do your shopping elsewhere. I had a thing yesterday. I went to Tesco's near us. I call it the gangster Tesco. It's a little rough parade of shops.
I've been in that one.
You know the one I mean?
Yeah.
Gangster Tesco's. So I was in there and I was queuing up, and you can do the self-service thing, but I had a drop of booze because I do like to get a bit pissed up on a Sunday.
But that causes problems because a lot of the people on the cash desks aren't 18, and then you've got to wait for the, shop mum to come
and
check.
So you have to wait for all that, and a bloke in front of me. Now, I'm no normally all in favour of a nice bit of chit-chat with the shopkeeper. But really, mate, what are you talking about? Why did you... Don't have a conversation! You know, I just want to get away on
was
a Sunday.
An elderly gentleman?
He was quite elderly, yeah, so I consider...
He's the only person I've spoken to all day.
A heavy basket, I have to say. The other thing, talking about drinking, oh, my God. I've got to tell you something. I got an exclusive... This is the worst thing ever. Last Monday... which is a week gone from here, I went to... I was a guest for someone's corporate ticket at Tottenham Hotspur FC.
Oh, right.
And it's a very famous actor who I will tell you about in a minute. And
does it rhyme with Obert Aniro?
Yeah, he's a massive Spurs fan. Obert Aniro. Now, I went to this match. It's all corporate. You get the champagne flowing.
Yeah.
It's all free.
Yeah.
The most exclusive seats for Tottenham versus Fulham. Okay. As with...
That's the payoff.
Another actor friend of mine. Anyway, it was one of those where they keep filling up the drink while you're talking.
Yeah.
And I was talking to this other actorly fella. Yeah. And I didn't notice this pink champagne. He even come to the table and they go, oh, would you like to try the Malbec? I was with someone else who went, it's all free.
Yeah.
No, I think I'll try the Shiraz. And this comes. So there was red wine, champagne. I thought, I don't want to go mad. So they said, what would Sir like at halftime? You have sausage rolls at halftime. It's quite unbelievable.
I lie down by the sound.
I lie down, yeah. A defibrillator is what I need. So I sort of had this, all this booze. I thought, what I'll do is at halftime, I won't have a drink. I'll just have a cup of tea.
Did you have a little Ming the Merciless red wine?
Yeah, wine on. Lip. I had wine lip, wine teeth, and I had that. Like Ribena. Ribena up the side of me. A bit pissed. Couldn't really follow the first half because I'd had a few. I'm just having a cup of tea at half time. Half time comes, there is a cup of tea, but there's also various glasses of champagne and this red wine. I staggered home, right, up Tottenham High Road. You know, like a comedy drunk holding on to... If you imagine sort of Charlie Chaplin or something, hanging on to lampposts. My God, it was so awful. And I got to my station where I was sick.
Oh, no, I've done that before.
55 years old. And at that moment, a couple of my neighbours came up and went, oh, he's Clinton like that. My God.
Really cheat myself.
That would have been awful. And no, I wasn't wearing my white suit, so that would have been doubly...
Yeah, that happened to me once.
Yeah.
Last day at college.
Yes.
Finished our final lesson about 11 o'clock. Decided to take it into the pub, you know, just to chat about books and that.
Yeah.
6 o'clock, I'm back on the train home.
Yeah.
And the motion of that carriage plus hefty amounts of red wine again. My God. I got off that train just in time, lost me lunch.
Oh!
And then as I'm sort of like staggering back up the steps, oh, hi!
Yeah.
Hi, Linda, I haven't seen you for ages. I'm thinking, God, no, not now. Friend from school.
I know. Very quickly, I've probably even mentioned it on this show before, just while I've got you. Talking of drinking, this was a terrible thing. When we were at sixth form college many years ago.
Many mistakes were made back then.
Many mistakes were made.
Over and over.
And I've probably said this before, but basically, I had a room right up in the top of the house, right? And one morning I woke up and all the pipes were iced up, right? So I turned all the taps on full blast, went off to college, forgot that it would thaw out during the day, didn't bother turning them off. The college was closed. We went to the pub.
No!
We were only about 16, honestly. And we went to the pub. In those days, you were allowed to go in the pub. They didn't give a shit. So I was in the pub all day till about 4 o'clock. And when I came back, two stories of our house had fallen down.
You're joking.
No. And the whole place was completely flooded and nearly ended my parents' marriage. So there you are.
Holy shit. I did that once for, it must have been about 20 minutes. Phone, in our day, you didn't have mobile phones. Kids.
No, kids.
So you get a knock on the door, your boyfriend's on the phone, he'd be downstairs.
And you would put the bathroom. Oh, Christ, yeah.
So I buggered off, sweet nothings, probably chatting a load of old shite.
Yeah,
it wasn't even worth it. Got back, didn't realise I'd left the tap on.
Was
my room was swimming. So it was the sink. We had a sink in the bedroom.
I know.
Swimming. But also, those carpets at that university hall for residents have not been cleaned for years.
Oh,
stank!
Right. Yes, I think we know that. That is absolutely... Well, there you are. There's a little insight into both of our lives. Thank you very much.
Mistakes were made.
Mistakes were made. Please, don't just spend the day in the pub.
No.
Don't forget if you have left some water on. Thank you. That is a public service.
Also, boys, cause of all the trouble.
Oh, aren't they?
Yeah.
Filthy bastards. All right, let's get on with the flaming show as we speak to Nina Coward. She sent in... Nina Coward sent in this email, please, if you would, Linda.
Dear Clinton and Linda, this happened when I was about 9 or 10.
Yes.
Already vague. Yes. Me and my sister and our mum and dad were driving back from my nana's house on Boxing Day evening, pretty late, probably around 11 p.m. again. Scant on the cement.
I would go so far as to say...
Needless detail.
Yeah.
My nana lived in Hatfield Broadoak in Essex, near the Hatfield Forest. Her little cottage was in the middle of nowhere, only farmland around for miles, and the nearest shops or other houses were a good drive away.
The road was pitch black, and my dad was driving. These are roads with no markings, and only bushes and ditch at the side. No path, and some way is single lane.
Okay.
In the headlights ahead... hold on, just a second. In the headlights ahead... It's not needless detail. In the headlights ahead, on the left side of the road, we saw a woman was just standing there with her back to the road. None of us had said anything. We all just saw her.
It was initially strange. She was not facing the road and was not moving.
You said that, yeah.
So didn't seem distressed or needing help. She was dressed in a cloak that looked almost like sack, type material. As we approached, my dad was going to pull over to see if she was okay, but my mum just said, "No, Gary, just drive!"
"No, Gary, just drive!"
"No, Gary, just drive!"
My mum said she had the most horrible, uneasy feeling.
Why does she
married Gary?
Why does the inclusion of Gary make it more hilarious? "No, Gary!
No, Gary, just try." My mum said... We're coming across a bit snobby there.
No, we're not.
My mum said she had the most horrible, uneasy feeling and something had told her not to pull over. We were all just quiet and we all had the same feeling, but we had all seen her.
She didn't finish as we passed. No,
she didn't flinch
as we passed. Just stood there, so we didn't see her face, but we all recognised the clothes she was wearing were not of this period.
Wow.
It was so strange because it was late and there was nothing around and she had no torch as I looked back and there was nothing, just pitch black.
Even to this day, when I think about it, it makes me feel uneasy. We all still talk about it and all know we saw something really strange that night. Literally shits me up. Love and light and shite. Nina, we're going to speak to Nina right now.
"No, Gary, just drive!"
Nina is with us now.
Right.
And she is gorgeous, I think you'll agree.
Fashion model, we're talking.
Fashion model.
Stop it.
No!
Don't stop.
Nina, you look $1 million. How are you?
I'm very good, yeah. Close to Halloween now, good time of year.
Busy time of year for Linda. She's got a broomstick out.
Oh, cheeky.
Yes, and what are you doing? You've got kids, haven't you? You're going to be taking out trick-or-treating.
I have, yeah. I've got one that's nearly 14. She's a bit too old to be trick-or-treating, really, but she wants to. And I've got a little 8-year-old. So,
What are they going as, Nina?
The little one wants to go as a ghost, so that's lovely and easy for me.
Yes.
And the old one, I don't know, they get to the stage where they want to go as something like a bit sexy, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah,
my 12-year-old niece is going as dead Taylor Swift, which I'm told
is she?
Because there's a line in Taylor Swift, like one of her songs, where she goes, "Taylor can't come to the phone now because she's dead." So I said, "Paint your face blue." She said, "No, why would you do that?" I went, "Hang on, you're just going to be Taylor Swift then, aren't you?"
Yeah, that's probably the thing. Can you tell the man in the room switches off when there's any talk of
Taylor Swift?
No,
I love
kids
her.
Dressing up for Halloween.
Fancy dress.
So
do you not like it?
Oh, you never dress up, do you?
I dress up for the bloody stage. I dress up when people buy tickets for my tour, roller coaster.
Only for pay.
I won't do it for fun.
Well, the veil's thin, isn't it? So you can... the communication.
Veil. Yeah. The veil is very thin this time of year. Thank you, Nina. Yeah, you see, that's Linda there scoffing. Now, I mean, what is it about Halloween? I don't know where it says in the annals of paganism that Halloween is a time to dress up like a right old slag. Why is that? What? Oh, Halloween, I know. I'll go to Anne Summers and dress like a right tart.
Clinton, you fast starting to sound like a right old fart, you know.
I don't see the correlation. There are people who...
It's about pushing boundaries, Clinton.
Having sexual intercourse is what it's about. Nothing to do with boundaries. Nina, Nina, Nina. Oh, sounds like a police car's gone past. Can you please just tell us, I mean, is it a thin story? Is it really something that has stuck with your family for many years? Is it possibly, and I'm just playing devil's advocate, is it is it just a lady stood by the side of the road?
Is there a woman out there somewhere in the world going, and I was stuck by the side of the road and no bugger stopped for me, but something walked at me?
That's right.
It's funny because I spoke to my mum about it the other day, and she actually said it was on Christmas Day night. Right. She said it wasn't Boxing Day, so I got that. Well, it all merges into one when you're young, doesn't it?
Of course. But,
and she said it was later. She said she reckons it was about between 12 and 1 in the mornings, which makes it stranger, really, because why would someone be out that late? I don't know. And it was a feeling as well. It was like a really strange, horrible feeling we all got.
Do you think that it was a ghost, or do you think it was a dogger, or was it just a lady pissed at Christmas?
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, it just, these roads, like you can imagine, country roads, there's one-way traffic kind of on them. There wasn't anyone else on the road because where my nana lived was out in the middle of nowhere. So it was just fields. There was just nowhere she could have gone. And even if she was walking, she had no light or anything. And why would you stand? She was facing the road, like.
But did she turn? Nina's giving us a demonstration now.
Did you see that, everyone?
Turning her back slightly. Thank you. I've seen people do that before. I know
the difference. Again,
just again. So that's the difference between front and back, is it? Oh yeah, that's it. I've got it. I've seen people do it before. You don't have to give a demonstration.
Very spooky.
And you think it was a cloak? It was old-fashioned garb.
Yeah, so like we all sort of said it was like sack material.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And was this so you think it might be a person from a previous age? Did the other people from a previous age?
And it's funny because my mum actually said we should all draw it how we remember it.
Yeah.
And we just haven't got round to doing it because life. But yeah, we should all draw it, I think, and because we all, you know, but like you say, was it a woman standing there? It was strange, and like I said in my email, my mum had said, "Oh, we should see if she's all right." Dad had said, "We should see if we." And as we're coming closer, my mum went, "No, Gary, drive,
Gary, that's drive, Gary." Okay, fair enough.
And in hindsight, should we have called the police and said there's some nutter on the road? I don't know.
Okay, well, I think I'm convinced because I don't see any reason you would be sort of in a country lane, you know, if it's in the middle of nowhere. I think that that's often where spooks hang around.
What do you reckon, hedge witch wearing that kind of garb?
I'm just going to my...
Wikipedia.
My Wikipedia. I'm saying hedge witch. Yeah. I'm saying rural hedge witch.
Apparently, it is a bit of a phenomenon, road ghosts.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know about Crossroads, don't you?
Dun, dun, dun,
no,
dun,
not that. More spooky than that, even.
Right.
So when people used to get, like, hanged or, you know, done for being witches.
Yeah.
Or highwaymen.
Yes.
They were not worthy of going in consecrated ground, of course.
Okay.
Used to bury them at the crossroads.
Right.
So that's why there's a lot of talk about, you know, Dick Turpin and stuff at Crossroads.
Yeah.
So you're right, road phenomena is a thing.
Right. Look around you, Linda. Look at some of the paranormal, you know, paraphernalia I've got in this room. I know a thing or two.
That black rubber one, is that?
That black rubber thing is, you know very well, it's a fertility symbol. I do know a thing or two. I like, honestly, she's been in this podcast 5 minutes and she's telling me about stuff. I know all about it. That's what I do for a living.
Okay, you seem a bit rattled there. Did I tell you something you didn't
know? Yes, I do know about that. Oh, yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I did actually try and find out if anyone died there or if anyone else had seen the ghost, but I couldn't.
Right. Okay.
And a thorough investigation was carried out.
Can you please tell us roughly where it is, please, and I can look it up?
Yeah. It's in Hatfield Broad Oak on the Hatfield Broad Oak Road.
Where's that?
It's in Essex. Just farmland, really.
We are going to look that up.
I mean, I could find probably the exact location.
Ooh. I would like you to do that. Could you send that off with?
You know, joking aside, it really did shit us up a bit.
Okay, all right.
As a family. We were all a bit sort of quiet in the car. We were all like...
Yeah.
Hell just happened.
Yeah, and you've got Linda here.
Well, I'm just trying to find a logical explanation for a family shit up. Call me old-fashioned.
Going to come to my mum's 80th with that packaged moraine that wasn't done very well. Anyway, right, well, that's a lot of fun. All right, Nina, please send us the details, but you'll have to do it quickly because I want to get this on the podcast. Right, that's wonderful, Nina. Thank you very much. Please send
the details. Yes.
Wonderful. All right, my love. Have a lovely day. Good luck for Halloween.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right, my love. Bye-bye. Well, it's not often we get a properly scary one from Take a Break, Fate and Fortune. But when I saw this, I thought I would offer it up to Linda. It's an article that someone, Claire Kirk, has written in. She's 47, and it's called It's Playtime. Spooky sort of thing. Here we go, if you would please, Linda.
I hung my coat up as the nursery manager, Alison, came through the door. She looked so shaken.
Oh.
Is everything all right, she asked. Last night I heard a baby crying. Hang on. Who asked? She looked so shaken. Is everything all right?
Stop the music. Stop the bloody music.
Is everything all right? She asked.
I hung up my coat. The nurse manager came through the door. She looked so shaken. Is everything all right? She asked. No, you're quite right.
Last night I heard a baby crying, she said, but it was only me in the building.
This is absolute shit. They can't even write this thing properly. Go on.
No, this would never happen. Last night I heard a baby crying, she said, but it was only me in the building. The nursery had only opened recently and we were still getting it sorted. I'd interviewed for the nursery chef job and I'd been offered it on the spot. Oh. It was a very old house that It was in a very old house that had been converted.
It had been in a very old house that was converted. It had three rooms downstairs and two stairwells. One for staff only, leading up to the kitchen, plus a converted loft. Meant we had no under twos enrolled yet. And this had happened at 7:30 when Alison was locking up. Then she explained that when she'd left and got into her car, she'd looked up at the building and noticed the light was on in the loft room with the window wide open. I went in and it felt like I was being watched, Alison continued. I said, I'm just closing the window. Please don't hurt me. Then I ran back out.
Bravely, yes. Mm. Suddenly the doorbell chimed and we both jumped out of our skin. But nobody was there.
Don't take the piss out of it.
I went upstairs to get on with preparing the food and put the radio on. I checked the time and it was 11:15 a.m. 45 minutes till lunch.
Then I heard someone running up the stairs. I feel it was someone coming to the kitchen, so I popped my head out. Again, nobody was there. Can you stop yawning when we're doing the podcast?
I'm laughing.
The month passed by and the loud thumping sound kept on happening. When the beginning of the new term came around in September, we had lots of new children and staff start. Each time a new child joined, we'd all sit in a circle and sing a song to welcome them in. One morning, a little boy said, "Circle, circle." The nursery assistant was confused. Who's joining today? She asked.
Is his head hanging off?
Stop the music. Who's joining? Sally Morgan took up as a nursery nurse assistant. I've seen his head's come off. His neck's hanging off. Is that fright? Is that comfort to your kids? All his little arm is hanging off. It's all bits of blood and skin. Anyway, where did we get to?
Aren't we terrible people?
Aren't we terrible people? Who's joining today? She asked. He pointed at nothing and said, her. the little girl.
I couldn't believe it when the assistant told me, but most people just laughed it off. Another staff member was making her lunch in the kitchen, and I told her what was going on. She laughed and said, well, if there's a ghost, then turn the bloody radio off.
Then, as she left the kitchen, the radio went silent and the atmosphere suddenly changed.
Oh, my fucking God.
What on earth, I thought to myself. I ran downstairs to tell her, but she didn't believe me. And when I returned to the kitchen, my jaw dropped. The paper towel was flying out of its dispenser around the kitchen.
Linda farted in the kitchen.
That's what happened there. Looking at the time, I saw it was exactly 11:15 a.m. again.
Just then, Alison came to make some tea and rubbed her arms. I can feel something, she said. The hairs on her arms standing on end. How big were they to be visible?
Yeah, oh, bloody hell, yeah. Each day at 11:15, I became terrified of what would happen. I felt pure terror and an intense pressure as if someone or something was pushing into me.
Are you mad?
It started with a feeling of hands gripping my ankles, eh? Then pressing into my back, almost as if they were trying to push me into the oven.
Oh.
My apron strings would be pulled undone and my pants pulled down. No, and the radio would keep playing a song that gave me chills. Ghost by Ella Hend. Stop the music! Do you really think a true spirit would go, oh, I know what we shit her up, if we keep playing Ghost by Ella Henderson?
Yeah.
What a lot of bollocks. It always played no matter which... Put the music on. Ghost by Ella Henderson always played no matter which station I put it on. And the volume would grow louder and louder. Can you turn it down? The assistants would shout up the stairs.
They didn't believe it was out of my control. I was going through this alone and was terrified I was going mad. I didn't know what to do. One time I tried closing the kitchen door. I knew it was stupid, as surely a spirit can walk through it. But to my astonishment, the handle started visibly turning up and down and the door banged frantically. I opened it again and the familiar pressure came, but this time there was banging from each cupboard to the next. The kids were waiting for lunch, so a senior staff member came to check on me and she saw how distressed I was.
Linda's got saggy tits.
Oi!
I knew this. I know this sounds crazy, I explained, but there was this knocking on the cupboards like this. And after I'd done it, another chilling bang shook the cupboards in reply.
She stood open-mouthed. But she was a believer and felt sadness coming into the room. Each day I dreaded going into work and would go home feeling absolutely drained. By this point, a lot of the nursery staff had experienced strange goings-on, feeling like they were being watched, seeing black shadows in the corner, etc. Coincidentally, Jesse, who was the dad of one of the children, was a paranormal investigator. Oh, God. Do you know what's happening here? Her hand's getting tired typing, so she's going, right, let's wind this up now and bring in another character.
Yeah. I spoke to Jesse.
Is that your Willie?
I asked him if he would investigate. Jesse felt it right away. I was immediately drawn to the loft room. The manager and I followed him. I'm worried about you, he said, pointing at me. I can sense your energy, and I'm worried it's attached to you. Oh, sorry, wrong one. Sorry, that was the wrong one as well. I carry on.
He pointed his electromagnetic field reader my way.
Woo!
Do you mind? And said, it's standing right behind you. A family of five. Jesse also found the staircase to be full of activity. He believed it was more than a ghost, but not quite a poltergeist. I was just relieved there was finally an explanation. Well, if you want to take that as an explanation. We were planning to organise a full investigation, but following Jesse's visit, the activity calmed down, so the managers decided against it. All right, that's that sorted then. I was disappointed not to find out more, but was glad it had stopped.
Then I noticed something strange at home.
About your pencil.
I'd often use a Snapchat filter to take funny selfies of myself, and it kept picking up a second face when it was just me. Then, one day when I was at home with my partner on the sofa, when I saw a black shadow behind him. As I looked, it floated towards the window. I looked up and an image entered my mind. An old, thin man dressed in black.
It's really, really long and thin.
lifting his wide-rimmed black hat, placing it back on his head and disappearing into the night.
My partner looked up and said,
"Put the woolly in the bin."
Don't tell me you just saw that. Incredibly, he described the exact same vision.
There you are, Linda, same thing.
I was still curious, so I started to do some research. I came across an article online about a family of five who lived along that same road in Colchester in the 1800s. So many details were similar to the house where the nursery was. A man called Alfred and his family, which included a young baby, was owed money by a local man. One day, the man came round, just before lunchtime, the level of detail, supposedly to pay him back, but instead, he set the house on fire!
Oh, my fucking God.
The family were trapped upstairs and all died in a horrific manner, while the arsonist fled to New Zealand. It was one of Colchester's oldest murder cases. Maybe it was just coincidence, but new staff at the nursery would all feel the same dark energy.
Then, one found something bizarre in the loft. "What's this creepy old photo?" she asked. Reluctantly, I went to look. A framed sepia photograph of a woman was hanging
inside
like a
closet. This is like every horror film ever made.
Yeah, but the flaw in this is the house got set on fire. So how is a photograph still up there?
The ghost stuck it there!
Bollocks. When we took it down, there was a newspaper article from 1931 taped to the wall. You know, taped. With sellotape from 1931.
Oh, this is beginning to fall apart, this bloody thing. Go on.
No one knew where it had come from. Pulled out someone's arse. Luckily, I took a picture because it vanished days later. The following September, we had a new intake of children. I was delivering lunch upstairs one day when one boy walked straight into a cupboard door, banging his head, the silly bastard.
What did you do that for, silly? I asked. I'm following the man, he said, pointing. He just walked through that door. I was convinced the entity hadn't left, but was just lying dormant. I left the job soon after, and now I'm glad for a peaceful existence. Alison's name has been changed. Linda, this is the thing. Often nurseries do feature in spooky stories. Have you met a spooky child?
Yeah.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Go on.
One of my little goddaughters, when she was small, and I'm talking too small to be able to make shit up to spook adults.
Go on.
You know, when they're sort of two.
I know, yeah.
We were in the kitchen and their house backs onto some very ancient trees that used to be used as the borders of fields in the places where we lived, right? So these oak trees.
Borders for fields, yes.
So there's like a whole range of them. So we reckon they're about 400 years old, these trees.
Right.
And she went, "Oh, look up there.
Mm.
There's a man in the tree."
Okay,
and we look thinking, oh, maybe it was one of them tree surgeons.
Yeah, tree surgeons,
They do chop them up every autumn or whatever.
Remind me to tell you about tree surgery in a bit.
Yeah, so they make them look like knuckles, don't they?
Yeah, I know.
We look, no one there. And her mum said, "Oh, there's a man in the tree and what's he doing?" And the kid said, this may shatter us both up.
Go on.
"Nothing, he's just asleep, standing up."
Oh, he could have been hung. He could have been hung from the tree.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we put together as adults, but she really was a little weirdo.
Let me tell, just, this is not to do with spookiness, just for a second. I might have told this, all my stories, I might have told you before, but not long after I was a student, I got a job as a tree feller. This is true. And
a tree feller?
Don't do
the tree feller?
A tree surgeon.
A fella that does trees.
You know what I mean? Tree surgery, but I was not, I didn't know anything about the surgery. I just used to lug the branches to the...
Did you not get roped up and go up there?
We once went to John Reed, Elton John's manager's house, to do some tree surgery. And it was like, high excitement, we're going to go to John Reed. And I thought, blimey, turned up this massive estate to do this thing. I was really impressed. I'm sure I've told you this story before.
No,
this is absolutely true. And we went in there and, you know, me being a young twat, you know, always just the pecking order always means you're going to have the piss taken out of you when you're a young man like that. Anyway, we went in there and I was introduced to someone who they said was John Reed. And... this bloke was, oh yeah, that's right, yeah, yeah. Oh, me and Elton, I tell you what,
we've had them all. Scotsman, John Reed.
Yeah, well, that's right, exactly. Oh, yeah, we've had them all here. We've had a Prince come here, you know. We've had Lady Di. We've had them all. Sean Connery, all the Bonds. I've met them all. All the Bonds. Robert De Niro, all that, you know. Star Kick Sally Malkin, tease me. Yeah, and all. And so I was like, oh, bloody hell. So what's Elton like? Oh, yeah, great, Elton. Me and Elton, oh, we go, we're like that. We're like the blood brothers. All right, okay, so... And see, this is where he won't walk it, man, here by the sweet boys. Oh, bloody hell. I was absolutely blown away. I spent the whole time when I wasn't lugging his branches talking to this bloke. Anyway, got to the end. I was saying, God, that's really amazing. What else can you tell me? Tell me all sorts of gossip, secrets, incredible stuff. Saying, don't tell no one. Get to the end. They went, no, he was just the gardener.
Oh.
And I thought, I'm going to go to the tabloids. The stories I had, it's all bollocks. He wasn't John Reed at all. John Reed probably don't live there most of the time. No. Just a bloody gardener.
What a chancer.
But
also ruined it by letting you in on the gag by the end.
He should God.
Just let you go and live in a la la land.
I know, absolutely. Anyway, so children can be spooky. And one never wants to say to someone's, you know, their parents, oh, that child gives me the creeps.
Yeah.
I'm not saying your niece is someone to give you the creeps.
Goddaughter, no.
Goddaughter.
When I was a kid, I used to have an imaginary friend, and that shut my parents up because he was very real.
Yeah, and then you one day brought someone real home and went, fucking hell. She's brought a real friend home for a change. Amazing. What a miracle. Bloody hell.
Do you think imaginary friends are spirits? Or just...
Oh, well, that's very interesting.
Lonely,
I think that's possible.
Lonely children filling in the blanks.
I do have an imaginary friend who's sort of still with me all what? These years later, genuinely. And he's followed me throughout... this is true. Called John Austin. He was named after Steve Austin, who was, of course, my hero.
Billion Dollar Man.
Yeah, Million Dollar Man. And he's followed me through all sorts of periods in my life. Now, he could be a spirit. I mean, I've got Tarawak now, really, so I don't have the need for him. But he is more of an imaginary friend than a ghost spirit. So that's why I make that distinction.
I don't remember mine at all, but apparently it was an old gentleman called Mr. Somebody.
Really?
Yeah, and it was just... My parents were just spooked by the conversations we were having because apparently they were beyond what a kid would come up with.
Really?
Mm.
What sort of things?
I don't remember him at all. But apparently it was very vivid and he would say... You know, we'd have conversations like I was talking to a real old person. They thought I might be talking to a nonce at one point.
Oh, Christ.
Because they didn't know who this old fella was knocking about with their daughter. But it wasn't. It was just a figment. I'm
guessing. We've taken a rather dark turn. Talking of weird people, here's Ruth, who I went to see again this week.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Huh.
Hello, Clinton.
Ruth, I was thinking, I can't in all conscience let you have a Christmas on your own. I probably will just be here on my own this year as well, so... I was wondering if indeed you did want to come and have Christmas in my flat. I'll sort out the damp and stick a turkey in. You bring your roast potatoes and we'll have a jolly time. What do you think?
Not sure, Clinton, now.
What do you mean?
Not sure. You want me to come to yours, do you? Not sure. Neil Hardback book might not be working now.
Right, okay. Okay, well, don't come then.
It's no, I will come.
No,
nice.
But not if Neil Hardback book isn't working.
I've just remembered he's working, so I can come to yours. Shall I come at 9 a.m?
Yeah, make it nearer lunchtime. All right, my love. Well, I'll see you there, Christmas Day,
11 a.m.
All right, 11:30.
11 a.m. See you at 11 a.m.
Bye. Bye. Fucking hell.
Well, one of my favourites now, Jane Wallace from Take a Break. Now, you'll remember Jane Wallace. If you think Gordon Smith doesn't really commit to anything, Jane Wallace is the complete opposite. She will nail her colours to the mast.
Oh, is she the one that fills in with, like, and she's a bitch?
Yeah.
She's definitely got it in for
That's
yeah?
it.
Right.
Here we go. Is this song a sign from my friend? Here we go.
A very dear friend and former classmate died in a car crash when she was only 20 years old.
Don't worry, this will cheer up in a minute. Don't worry.
20 years on, I'm planning a party for my 40th birthday and I keep hearing her favourite song on the radio.
Yeah.
It's a pretty obscure hit. Not something that usually gets played at all.
Not Ghost by Ella Henderson.
I'm wondering if this could be a sign from her. Is she reaching out to say she's okay? Says Ellen, 39, of Wigan.
Now, if this was Gordon, he'd go, no, songs. See, songs can give songs us all.
Songs are chosen by algorithm these days.
That's right. But no, Jane, listen to this. Reaching a milestone age means you will inevitably wonder about others you have shared your path with. I believe we all do this. My gut tells me, however, that the song and its words are indeed a message from your dear friend.
That's definite confirmed.
And it is her way of getting your attention. Try to listen to the message in the song's lyrics. It might give you confirmation about things going on in your life right now. I mean, if you are pushing the pineapple and shaking the tree.
That is really spooky.
You're about to say
That's
the same thing.
Oh,
we're having a gangbang. We're having a ball.
So it's an obscure hit, so I'm thinking, you should be careful what that might be, Jane. You don't know. It could have been hold a chicken in the air, pick a
jetter
up your nose.
Yeah, that's right. Who knows what that is? And those lyrics don't mean anything.
No.
Could they spend the time together? Look at this. Another one from Jane here. Nailing her colours to the mast.
My family is spread out across the country, including my divorced parents. As my mum lives on her own, I spend Christmas with her, and sometimes my partner does too. Or he'll see his family. He's not bothered. But as I'm getting older, it would be lovely to have Christmas in my own home. Do you see my parents being able to spend Christmas in the same room? Ask Jane, 31, of Coventry.
Now, I will say that's quite an emotive subject.
Yeah.
But, oh, Jane Wallace, don't hang back. I feel emotionally they have had so many problems. You've got the Five of Cups, which shows the battles you've gone through. I'm afraid there's not a chance in hell they'll compromise and come together. So you'd have to have Mum for Christmas Day and Dad for Boxing Day, for example. It's a bit presumptuous, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why don't you just say yes, invite them over?
Or maybe say, why didn't you suggest very gently that they talk to each other?
They will not tolerate each other's energy.
Forget it!
And you need to ensure you make your day as special as possible. They are good people. They just don't get on. I see the love and pure energy you get from them.
Well, I think actually we're reading this wrong because Jane Wallace, I thought when she presented this problem, she was going to get some extra detail about her parents that she did not require, right? Because that's what Jane tends to do, like, not since your dad put it about. You don't know this, but...
Don't want your dad for Boxing Day, the dirty bastard. Then what he did in Boxing Day, 1973.
So actually, I think that's quite restrained for her.
Yeah, it is. All right, okay.
But also irresponsible.
Irresponsible. It's a little bit too on the nose. Right, listen. We've got an interview now with some other wonderful comedians I met in York, a very spooky place.
Jack Gledo is with me here at the York Theatre Royal. I met him a few weeks ago down in London, and we got on famously, and I've always looked out for him ever since. It would be customary to say the same, it don't matter, none taken. He's here now, he's got a spooky story, and please, in the studio, Linda, put on the spooky music, Jack.
Hello. We've got the same voice.
Yeah, you take the piss.
Well, my spooky story, it's quick.
Thank God.
I was in bed, and I opened my eyes, and there was an old man, like, leaning, looking at me.
Yes.
And I closed my eyes, and he'd gone. But I vividly saw an old man standing next to my bed looking at me. And I was in my room at my house. It wasn't like in an hotel, and someone wandered in.
2 out of 10. Thank you, Jack. Now listen, Jack, we're going to VAR. Don't make me go to the monitor. To see whether that was a proper story or not. Now listen, the people at Stockley Park want to just go over it again.
Right, okay.
And I want to know this, because quite often on my podcast, we deal with people who, Linda, my assistant, would believe they've had sleep paralysis. They're imagining things. They can't move. They're in a half-dream state. How certain are you that it was not that?
I don't think it was a ghost at all.
Well, what are you doing talking on my fucking podcast?
Because you fucking... I've never met you before. You just dragged me off the street and said, I need someone to tell me a ghost story.
Christ,
I don't know what it was, but it was weird. It was... Because I saw the face and it was vivid. I had my eyes wide open. I know I wasn't asleep.
Yes.
My eyes were looking at a figure that was in my room.
Yes.
So let's just say it was a ghost.
Well, I will say it's a ghost because I'm the bloody expert. Who's the expert? You or me? Me. And I'm telling you saw a bloody ghost. And I think that you do have a certain magnetic charm for the dead.
Well, he was kind of like leaning. He leant in. And it, do you know what he looked like?
Who?
I'm going to say the old man in Home Alone. But, like, probably because I watched the film that day.
Oh, God, it's getting worse, this. Jesus.
So, yeah. Have you ever...
Don't try to rescue it. Fucking hell. Have I seen the ghost? God, someone clairvoyant medium psychic.
No, but like that. Have you seen it? You're in bed and...
I've seen a couple of old men peering over me, rubbing their legs like that. Yes, but they weren't ghosts. They were stiff, certainly, but I don't know whether they were ghosts. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Jack Gledo. He's much better on stage than he is at telling stories like this. Trust me. Thank you, Jack. Good luck in the show. All right. Awful. I'm here with Luke Jones. He is the promoter of tonight's extravaganza here at the York Theatre Royal.
Okay, so I was at the Tyne Theatre and Opera House in Newcastle.
Down.
I was at the Tyne Theatre and
Opera House. Don't take the piss, just slow down a bit.
I was at the Tyne Theatre and Opera House
in
Newcastle.
Get on with it. Fucking hell.
Yes. And I used to work on a radio show in Newcastle.
No one likes a show off.
Where I went off on Ghost Hunts. Yes. And we did one in the Tyne Theatre.
Yes.
And it was at the end of the night. We hadn't really seen anything or caught anything. But I then went with one of my colleagues to go and collect equipment afterwards.
Right.
And we heard as if like stagehands were moving stuff backstage behind the curtains.
Right.
And there was nobody there.
I have played that theatre.
Yeah.
And we are playing it soon. Which date are we playing it?
30th of November.
30th of November, folks. Please come and see it at the Tyne Theatre. It's a wonderful theatre.
It's beautiful.
And you never know, you might see a ghost there. What did you... So you peeked behind the curtain, literally, and what did you see?
Nothing. There was nobody there.
But how certain are you that that's what you heard?
100%. And also, on the night of one of the shows we put on in Tyne Theatre, I was walking upstairs in the dress circle area, and a curtain, like, to go down the stairs, moved, and I was the only one up there.
Wow. Devil's advocate. Someone else, a cynical person, might say you brushed past it.
Nah.
Definitely not.
No, because I was too far away from it at the time.
It visibly moved, sort of bellowed out?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. I remember telling Matty.
Matty is here listening. Matty, what do you remember of the night?
Right, so he told me that happened. I was on stage.
And he was, did you scream?
You made an audible noise.
I ran down to tell you what I'd just seen. I was like, I've experienced a ghost.
And I said, that's bollocks, that.
Yeah.
Are you making this up, Luke?
No, genuinely not.
I remember it.
I remember him being really spooked because then he took me upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that.
Yes.
He took me upstairs and he showed me where it happened.
Right.
It's just a curtain.
But when you went up with Matty, did you see anything?
No.
Right, okay, that's been an anti-climax. But anyway, come and see the show. Just remind me, 30th of November?
Yeah.
30th of November, where can they get tickets?
The Tyne Theatre website.
The Tyne Theatre website. Please, you know, do persist because it's a little bit, it's a skeleton staff at the moment. And that's a funny joke, isn't it? Yes, okay, and there's another joke in there somewhere, but I can't think what it is. Keep ringing, and they might hear you above the chains. And not as funny as the first one. And make sure no one ghosts you at the switchboard. Right. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for this lovely gig. We're back with Jane Wallace.
I've just seen the headline on this one. You are not going to believe it, not in a million years.
Someone has written in to Jane Wallace and wants to know this. How do I connect with manatees? Do you know what a manatee is? One of those big, horrible... What is it?
Well, it's like... It looks like a sort of cross between a seal and a dolphin, doesn't it?
A seal, a dolphin, and a hippopotamus, isn't it?
Chunky thing, yeah.
With a big, horrible, flappy mouth.
They were...
Bit like Ruth.
Oh, go on.
Yeah.
I think they're called sea cows, aren't they, by some?
Sea cows!
Yeah.
Go on then.
I watched a documentary about manatees and felt such an affinity with them, says Sophie 38 of London. They seem wise and yet gentle. Now I keep on having dreams about manatees and I feel a deep connection with them. I wonder if one is my guide animal. Is there a way to further connect with manatees and their kind spirit?
I feel you're an ocean baby. You need to connect with the water and ocean. Well, she's a squirter. Manatees.
Oh my God.
Manatees. I'll edit that out. Manatees are beautiful, kind and wonderful souls. It's an absolute privilege to be guided by them. Interpret your dreams. Use breath work and meditations so you connect. You can connect with that energy. Interpret your dreams. Use breath work and meditation so you can connect with that energy. It's all about growth. They bring a different type of energy within you, freedom and self-expression, which you need to start to learn. What on earth does that mean?
That was a lot of words saying bugger all.
How do you connect with manatees? Breath work? Imagine a manatee's breath is bloody awful as well. Fishy. Now to our favourite. Oh, we've not dealt with her for a while.
Nothing fishy about this.
Nothing fishy about this lady. It's world-renowned medium Sandrea Moss says, as she connects a reader with a loved one in spirit to discover what their life is like on the other side. In other words, just for those people who haven't followed this before, she will speak to someone in heaven and tell us what it's like up there. Wendy Burnett asked her to contact her husband, Jeremy.
And just for the newbies amongst you, we've done quite a few of these, and the picture is always pretty similar. Think centre parks, but a little more dull, with workshops.
I think that's what it is. I think for some people that is their heaven, isn't it? Anyway, this is her husband, Jeremy, speaking from the other side.
Hello, love. Glad to hear from you. This really is lovely. I feel like I'm talking to you directly. Over the years, I've been sitting beside you as you've written things down about us, almost like writing me a letter, but you had nowhere to send it. I read all those words you jotted down, more so in the early days, but still occasionally as if to remind myself, you know, when I can be arsed. We never thought I would depart so prematurely, did we? I don't think either of us were prepared. I most definitely was not. And I did stay around the earth for a little while, trying to give you the strength to keep going on for the sake of our children. You managed it well, and you always do, putting the girls before yourself.
I have lived in several places since I've been over here, trying out different things. What's that? Caravan parks, static caravan parks, mansion blocks. I love colour, Wendy. It's the one thing I keep going back to, understanding the vibrations, frequencies and healing powers of colour. You would not believe
believe what you can do by yourself using colour, such as sending shards to disperse and dispel, to wrap around and embrace people or animals.
Wow, people or animals, is it?
Yeah.
We can even heal damaged and diseased trees in this way. That's spooky. Tree surgery again.
Yeah, God, yeah.
Whales, dogs, dolphins.
Manatees.
You name it, we can help them. The difference is, they can see us. Sorry. No matter what form we travel in, whether it's in the safety of an orb or in the shape of our human form, animals recognise us.
Bloody hell.
They can see us coming and welcome the healing from us.
Once out of the human body, our souls can communicate with animals so easily. That's why dogs like sniffing them so much. It's like chatting to each other, but in other thought form. I've spent many years learning how to mix things in the wrong way. Colours? Does he mean colours?
Mm.
It's a good job we practised on each other. Hey,
he's
painting.
Saying, he's had to like practise.
What it with his colours? With his colours, sort of thing.
I don't know. I've lost track.
Now I spend a fair amount of my day putting. What did he? I've got visions of he's with some load of swatches at B&Q, mixing the different paints, elephant's breath, etc. Now I spend a lot of my day putting all I've learnt into practice. I visit sick animals, mammals in polluted oceans, or humans who are reaching out and asking for help. We work together in very small teams, usually three of us. Together, we work our magic.
Healing is my guide, Jeddah, has always... There's always a guide, right?
There's
this is where
a
you
guide.
Find out about the other woman. Healing is my guide, Jeddah has always told me, is not curing. It's about healing the soul.
Oh, did she say that, that bitch? What are you doing up here with her?
And ridding it of things that no longer serve it. It's so much fun and brings me such satisfaction, my love.
Oh.
I suppose you could say I am a former very junior angel. Well, I suppose you could say that, you big head. Thousands of years away from getting any wings, but we're engaged in supporting humankind and animals, so to free them from their suffering.
I still find time to come and see you when I'm not with Jeddah. And I've watched our girls grow into adults, marry, and have children of their own, so I'm not worried about them. I'm off with Jeddah now. I have never...
It's my time.
It's my time. You can find someone else. I've never missed any important date. I'm the silhouette shimmering in the background, watching over and loving you all.
I follow the energy lines and see the conflict unfold. Oh, he's so wise now, isn't he? Look at the pictures of him in his jumper. You'd never have known.
What a big head. What a big head.
You know, in the Middle East, I'm sorting it. I'm working on it.
Yeah, well, get on with it, Jeremy. Sake.
But can you mind? You can minutely change, trace these threads and see how they tangle and entwine around each other as the conflict commences and begins to grow.
Jeremy, get round the table and start talking with people.
Bloody Kofi Annan.
Yeah.
How innocent people and soldiers of war become embroiled in these conflicts and how this impacts millions of other souls. We can see the errors and the failures and sometimes the stupidity of it all.
Do something, man. We have these huge curved white marble buildings, sounds like Brent Cross, where you can find your era and subject and nestle in a quiet place and unfold the events. As you follow the threads, you can see them on screens if it makes it easier.
Those of us who are waiting for our family to join from a soul group and spend
form
time
a soul
together.
Group.
All right, yeah. So when you do eventually join me, not for a long time, I hope, I shall be waiting for you to show you the ropes. Oh, God, explaining everything.
No, it's into bondage. Let me show you the ropes. Together, we will traverse this huge place with its infinite spaces, so vast it's impossible to discover them all. But what fun we will have here when we go off on an adventure and I stop boring you to death with how good I am at international diplomacy. I love you, my darling. I always will. And we will be together again. He hasn't put soon, thank Christ. Jeremy. It's a comfort, Linda. That's all I'll say. It is a comfort to some people. That.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's a bit of a know-it-all, Jeremy, isn't he?
I find him a little dull, but okay. As long as he feels like he's keeping himself busy. I've got to say, though, if that is his full-time job, he's not doing a very good job at it.
No, he's not.
Because the world is gone to
That's
shit.
Right. You've got eternity, mate, but can you get on with it quickly? Because we're on a different time zone down here. From Olivia Beards. Dear Clinton and Linda, I'd like to share my spooky story with you and apologise if it's a load of rubbish.
I'm a librarian at a university in Birmingham. Oh, I wonder which university that could be. I'd like to preface this by saying that I live in Wolverhampton.
Yes, I go there a lot to Wolverhampton.
Commute takes around an hour and a half on buses and trains, so I could very well be sleep deprived, but I maintain that this did, in fact, happen.
Yeah, needless detail.
I usually work in a large and busy library on campus, but I do one day a week at a smaller library owned by the uni at the back end of Birmingham.
Oh, get on with it. Other staff members have warned me that they'd heard unsettling noises and seen people in rooms that disappeared when entering said rooms, but I thought they were winding me up as I'm relatively new at working at this smaller library and I'm a good few years younger than the other staff members. All right. However, on my second shift at this small library, I witnessed something that still makes me a bit unsettled every time I go into the staff room to have my break.
When making a cup of tea, the bin started shaking.
Whoa!
Vibrating, possibly, as if there was something in the bin.
Whoa.
Linda put wrong paper in recycling.
Oi! Terrified that it was a rat, a bit implausible, but I am in Birmingham.
Yeah.
I raced to the bin and looked into it. There was nothing in there. No rubbish, certainly no rat. I took a step back thinking I'd been seeing things, but the bin started shaking again.
I abandoned my tea, took my dinner with me and sat in the office, telling a staff member that I couldn't get any reception in the staff room, so I'd have my break in the office. Not the most impressive story, I admit, but I thought I'd share as I could do with some of that Clinton and Linda wisdom. All the best, love and light, Liv Beards. Let's speak to Olivia. I'm here with Olivia, or Liv, as she calls herself. Liv, you're phoning from Wolverhampton, am I correct?
You are, I am.
And tell me, are you still working in a library?
I am indeed. I'm working over in Birmingham at the moment.
And do you, genuinely, serious question, is it much more than stamping books and saying shush to people?
Not much more, no.
No, all right, okay. Well, I tried to make the job sound a bit more interesting, but I think we can all agree it ain't showbiz. Liv, listen, tell me that a lot of people would say, oh, come on, there's a bloody car going past, or it's over a tube system or a train or a juggernaut. What was happening with this bin? And please make it entertaining and informative and brief.
So I was working over in a little library in Birmingham that university owns. And I'd heard some stories. People had said, oh, it's haunted.
There's
people in rooms that when you go in there, they disappear. And I just thought, because I'm a little bit younger than everyone else, that they would just pull me on.
Yes.
So I went into the staff room and I was making myself a cup of tea on my break. And I had the kettle on and I'm just sort of making myself, you know, cozy, and then the bin starts moving.
Right. My love, I know you said there was no rat in it, there was no vibrating vibrator in it. Why was it, what makes you think it was a ghost? I mean, why, I mean, because on the face of it you go, oh, that's a bit odd, but was it because these people had shit you up with this talk of a ghost?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that I'm a skeptic you know, people believing in all of this. I think it could happen. But like I said, I put my hand in because I thought if there is something in there, I'm going to get it out.
Oh, my God, that's brave of you. Bloody hell, you won't be stamping, a big rat in there, you won't be stamping any more books with that hand, would you? Bloody hell. And there was nothing in it.
Nothing in it at all.
So what happened after that? When it stopped, you said to these funny old wicked spinster librarians, you know, that there's something in there. What did they say? Yes, I told you. Or did they say, did they not believe you or what?
They just sort of looked at me and said, I'm not surprised.
Looked at you and said, could you please take these large print back to the biography shelf? Thank you, my love. So what else happened? Did anything else after that convinced you?
I remember up at the top of the library, there's these sort of little study rooms that people can go up into and book. And I knocked on the door because it was near closing time. And I said, oh, excuse me. And I heard someone go, just a minute. Oh. I'm waiting. I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to have to knock again. Yeah. So I knocked. I opened the door and there was nobody in there.
Oh, bloody hell. Is it an old library? Is it a library with a history of anything odd?
It was built in the year that I was born, so it's 27 years old, so I hope that's not considered old.
Oh, my love, not from where I'm standing. No, definitely not. Not at my age. It's very, very young.
But I've been told that there's a cemetery nearby.
Right.
And there is a Quaker college and a Christian college as well. So I don't know whether there's some sort of religious...
Yes, almost a sort of ley line triangle going on in the area.
Mm.
Now, just tell me about, I'm very interested, this is genuine, about being a librarian.
Yeah.
What's the best thing about it? What's the worst thing about it?
Well, the best thing about it for me is because I'm incredibly boring, I just have loads of books on loan and never get asked to bring them back.
Do you read a lot of books?
I do, but I wouldn't necessarily say that helps my intellect at all.
What sort of books do you read? Because I want to ask you something in a second. This is deadly serious. Go on.
Well, I like a lot of fiction books, but mainly I've got... Oh, this is so boring. I've got a degree in Shakespeare, so I read a lot of Shakespeare things.
I've got something to tell you, Liv, right now. You're going to love this. Did you see... Graham Norton on Friday night, they had Dame Judi Dench on.
Yes.
Right. Dame Judi was talking about a book. Did you see her talking about a book? That is co-written by my director of my show, Brendan O'Hay, who's director at The Globe. And he, and I've just literally, before I spoke to you on this Zoom call, I was speaking to him about the show. So please come along, and I know he'd love to meet you. And, you know, because he's a Shakespeare bloody expert, the fella. Why he's directing my filth, my show, I do not know. Well, listen, I want to ask you about this. Being a Shakespeare wallet and being someone who likes great literature, when I go touring like up and down the country, and when I do my sacred readings at weekends, I thought to myself, I cannot spend all my time listening to music, listening to sort of boring radio program, not that interesting. I'm gonna get a book from, and also you take potluck slightly with podcasts, right? I'm gonna get a book from Audible, and I picked up a book by Robert Galbraith called Lethal White. Okay, it is read by Robert Glenister, the actor. I am struggling through this thing. I keep waiting to be lost in this book. I don't know whether I've got ADHD. I find it so hard to read and concentrate. And even just driving huge distances, I can't concentrate on this bloody book. What should I listen to as a first port of call?
Oh, okay. So I listen to... I've got this app called BorrowBox, and it's linked to local libraries, and you can get loads of books.
BorrowBox. That's BorrowBox, everyone. Yes, okay.
I'm actually reading a book at the moment called You'd Look Better as a Ghost.
Ah, really? Is it spooky?
It is quite spooky because it's about a woman who is sort of delving into being a serial killer.
Right. Wow. Okay.
But she's sort of not quite sure what's reality or not at the moment. So.
Okay. Well, look, I'm going to pick that up for my next travel. Liv, I've got to thank you so very, very much. Thank you for getting in touch. Please, if you do experience anything else at that library or in any subsequent library you work at, please let me know. What a joy. Liv, thank you so much for ringing in. I do appreciate it. Liv, everybody. Liv, everybody. Wonderful. Namaste, my love. Oh, we've had a lovely time again. Linda, what are you going to be doing when you leave me now?
What am I going to be doing? Yeah. I'm going to be going home.
Yes.
And I'm going to be doing as little as possible. I run off my feet, Clinton. I just yes. need to chill out.
I think so, because, you know, if you are a school secretary and you kids, any kids listen, I know no kids listen to this, too busy tweeting,
vaping,
TikTok dancing and playing shitty music on the back of buses. But when you are a school secretary like Linda,
yeah.
It is exhausting, so you do need a holiday, don't you?
Those lunchboxes don't walk themselves up the stairs when you forget them at home, you know?
That's right, exactly. So Linda's going to go and just put her feet up.
Yeah.
I am going to edit this show, and lots of love until next time. Listen, just a gentle reminder, we are doing shows at the 100 Club in London's fancy West End. You'll need cheering up in January. Sunday, January the 28th. Ooh. Sunday, February the 11th. Go on.
Ideal Christmas present.
Ideal Christmas present. And if you don't like that, why don't you get tickets to my forthcoming UK tour roller coaster? Go to clintonbaptiste.com/tour and buy some tickets, because it'll be very echoey in these massive venues with just me on my own.
You tight sods. You're, come on.
Come on. Some of you don't pay for this, do you? I know you are. All right. Lots of love. Until next time. Namaste.
Bye, everyone.
Why, thanks to Linda Pollock, to Nina Coward, Sally Ann Hayward, Jack Gledo and Liv Beards. And of course, thanks to Glow for writing and singing this beautiful music. Why don't you come and see me, Glow, various comedians, hilarious comedians, on Sunday, January the 28th at the 100 Club in London, or Sunday, February the 11th. Doors at 6:30, show at 7. It's night and early, you'll get home, all right? Go to wegottickets.com and look for Clinton Baptiste's Sunday Seance. And of course, if you don't fancy that, come and see me on tour, my UK tour roller coaster. You're going to love it, from March 2024. As soon as I've stopped talking to you and get back to writing the flipping thing, go to clintonbaptiste.com/tour. Thank you. That's enough hard sell for now.
Yeah, needless detail.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
All right. Clinton Baptiste here, offering you the chance to enjoy my Patreon podcast for free for 7 days. So many people have been joining me over there. It's a shame that you're not. We've got videos, cartoons, we've got all sorts of stuff, all the old back catalogue, and a chance for exclusive dibs on tickets before anyone else. Please come to patreon.com/Clinton Baptiste. All right, spirit fading now. See you there. Fading now.